This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison. Kara is taking this week off because she is on her honeymoon in Europe. Much deserved. The content is looking absolutely amazing. Check it out on Instagram and TikTok if you guys haven't seen it yet. We hope you're having the best time, Kara, and can't wait to hear all about it when you get back. So for this week, when I was thinking of guests to have on the show, Bailey Seaton immediately came to mind. She is a Nebraska native who is an integrative holistic health coach. And the reason she came to mind is because I'm actually in Nova Scotia right now. Very random, I know. I love Tulum so much, but you guys heard last week, I was talking about how the humidity was really starting to get to me and my body needed a break. It wanted fall. It wanted some soup, a bonfire, the coziness of fall. I just needed it. And I knew that there was going to be a really powerful full moon last week. And I was like, how cool would that be if I was just like camping by myself with the full moon and then got to be all cozy fall girl. So I just booked a one-way ticket from Cancun to Halifax, Nova Scotia, did zero research, had an overnight layover in Dallas. So while I was on that layover, I booked a little tiny house for the week and a rental car. Actually, I booked a rental car on Turo, that app where you like are renting cars from regular people. And it was this adorable little convertible because maybe you guys remember when I went to do the California coast around the Oceanside area back in May, I rented a convertible and it just made it so fun to be driving and have such a clear view of the scenery. So I was thinking of that with this trip because I knew there would be so many beautiful things to look at and I wanted a convertible. Well, the guy messages me and I was like, by the way, I do have like a huge Czech suitcase. And he was like, oh, it's not going to fit in the trunk. And I was like, seriously? No, I'm devastated. I was like, maybe I can like buy a storage locker for the day. And he's like, no, we don't have those here. So I had to cancel that reservation. Thankfully, I booked it last minute because you could cancel within 24 hours. So I didn't end up owing anything on it. And so then I got to Halifax, walked into the rental car section of the airport. They had a little cute Audi and I just initially rented it 3 days, I think. And then after a couple of days, I was like, I want to be here for a little while. Like I'm feeling grounded. I'm feeling peaceful. I had quite a lot of fish and it was really tasty because I don't normally eat fish. I was loving the solitude, getting a ton of work done because there's no distractions here. It's literally just like look at beautiful scenery and go inward, but not in the Tulum way that's like intense, more of like a soft go inward, which I love both. I need both. But I was happy to change up the pace. So long story long, Bailey came to mind because she moved from Omaha, which is a city, to the countryside. And I love her content. And she's always posting about her chickens and her sourdough and her soups and her homemade lattes. And I was like, I am channeling Bailey this week. And I was like, maybe she wants to come on the podcast. And I was like, I'm sorry, this is really last minute. Kara's gone. Would you want to come on the podcast? And she was like, of course. So thank you to Bailey for being spontaneous and willing to come on last minute. I'd been wanting to have her on for a long time. And it just, there's so many guests that I want to have on. But with Kara and his travel schedule, we fly by the seat of our pants a lot. So sometimes it's hard to coordinate guests in advance. Because for example, last week I had a guest locked in to do this week's episode before I left. And then sure enough, that was when I decided to fly from Cancun to Halifax. And literally the recording time we had set like weeks before was exactly when my flight was. Now I could have booked a different flight, but then I would have had to leave on a different day. And due to a variety of things, that was just like the day I needed to fly. So it's funny because when I plan things in advance, so often it doesn't end up working out because I'm such a like in the moment person. And so often things just like work out very last minute for me. So I'm just going to keep doing it that way until it stops working, because so far so good, almost 30 years in. So yeah, I'm in Nova Scotia. I could give you more updates, but maybe I'll save them. So that way next week when Kara talks about her honeymoon trip, I can share a little bit about my trip, because my conversation with Bailey, I just got off, was like almost an hour, and she shares so many knowledgeable bits and pieces about health and wellness. So I think we should just get to that sooner than later. But first, peaks of the week. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yesterday, was that only yesterday? Yeah, it was. I woke up at 3:20 a.m., could not go back to bed because it's on ADT time zone here, which is 2 hours ahead of Central, and Omaha and Tulum are on the Central time zone. So it felt like it was 5:20 a.m., which is still early, but that's not like an absolutely unreasonable time to wake up. 3:20 a.m. is ridiculous, but I couldn't go back to bed. And so I was like, okay, what do I do? Nothing's open. I try to go for a walk. A deer jumped right out onto the sidewalk. And then I was like, maybe there's bears too. Like, maybe this is not a good idea. So then I just got in my car. I was like, I'll just go get a coffee at McDonald's. It's the only thing open. And then I kind of was like up for the day. I was playing music. The wind was blowing in. I was like, maybe we should look up really cool sunrise places, because what else am I going to do for the next 2 hours? Like, I could have started working, but I don't know. I just wanted to do a side quest, I guess, at 4 a.m. because why not? So I find that Peggy's Cove, I think it's called, was one of the top 10 sunrise destinations on some article right when I Googled it. Looked it up in maps, and it was like, I would arrive by 7:07 a.m. and sunrise was like 7:02 a.m. or something. And I'm like, all right, it's destiny. Let's do it. So drove over there. There were so many magical moments along the way. I just kept stopping and stopping because it was so beautiful. I was like winding down these roads and the sunrise would be like peeking through over some sailboats. And then the next turn, it would be like foggy over like a cemetery. Like, it was just so pretty. I think I got to Peggy's Cove at like 8:30 a.m. or something, because I was enjoying the journey, not the destination. So I cannot say if the sunrise was a top 10 at Peggy's Cove or not, because I did not make it in time. But it didn't matter, because truly, the drive along the way was so beautiful. And then it was cool to see the lighthouse once I got there anyway. Did a little hike. Peaches got to run around, and then went to a coffee shop. And then it was just a normal day. But yeah, that was definitely my peak. And to read some listeners' peaks. Also, I must say, we have the coolest community on planet Earth, because when I read through your guys' peaks, I'm like, everyone is doing the damn thing. Literally every week. It's so inspiring. Like, I hope you guys know how much you inspire me, because the things that you're doing, like, I'll just read a bunch of them. Danielle, visiting Iceland for the first time. China, spent the weekend in New York City visiting my bestie. Kylie, beach this week in Washington, then mountains after to see the yellow arches. Grace, Disney World with my mama. Maya, my boss surprising me with NoahCon tickets, best night and best boss ever. Caitlin, just found out that I got accepted into nursing school. Megan, first weekend trip with just me and my husband since becoming parents. Mia, just bought tickets to Europe. Nicole, my family's hosting my boyfriend's family. Wait, that's so cute. At our lake house this weekend. Jenica, had a sweet farmer's market and pickleball day with my friend. Emma, first week back at work after maternity leave, and everyone was so kind and happy for me. Mac, visiting some friends in Mexico and don't have a return flight home yet. Haley, had the most incredible honeymoon in Spain and Portugal. Like, that's just some of them. And I know we're reading like the really wow ones, but even the small ones, like when people are like, I tried a new Pilates class. I had a really amazing new coffee. Like, you guys are awesome and killing it. And we're just so proud of you. So as always, send in your peaks of the week every Monday on our Instagram story box. The Instagram handle is @AlreadyFriendsPodcast. Now, without further ado, here is Bailey Seaton. Hi, Bailey. Welcome to Already Friends. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
The day finally came. We've only been planning and scheming this for like 2 years now.
Oh my gosh. I know. I've been a long time listener, so I'm truly honored. I'm like, been listening since day one. I love what you're doing with the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for being supportive. And it's been fun to watch you grow in your journey, because I remember when we were at Jesse's little backyard brunch, that was like when you were first starting your whole journey.
Yeah, for the most part, I had been doing it. I had a part-time job pretty much the whole time. And then I took it full-time kind of that summer. Yeah. And then now it's led me, which is only a year ago. But when I think about just like the personal development that's happened, business development, it's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Where you can come in a year. So yeah, I know. I remember when I met you for the first time too, I was like very, I wouldn't say nervous, but I'm like, this is just a new group of people. And I always say I met all my Omaha friends when I left Omaha. Like I met so many more people when I left. Yeah, that was a good time. It was a good group of people to be around.
It was. Okay. Talking about that, you live now outside of Omaha. In the catch-up segment of this episode, I was sharing about how I came to Nova Scotia because I just needed some calm and quiet. And after living in Omaha for 20-some years, I always thought I was such a city girl. And then once I moved to Tulum and I spent some time in rural South Dakota this summer, now I'm up here. I'm like, wait, am I like a country girl deep down? So I want you to talk about that, because you clearly found out that that's what you love and you followed that path.
Yeah, you're being converted. I love it. Every time my friends come out to our farm too, it's like, gosh, it's just so peaceful out here. I'm like, right? Like, it's just the lifestyle for me. But yes, we live on a farm in rural Nebraska. If you would have driven past our house about a couple weeks ago, you would have seen 150 chickens literally all over our yard, along with three ducks that are a little insane. But we raised laying hens this last year to then sell at full maturity. And now we have 75 broilers that we'll be raising to butchers. Before we had even moved back here from Omaha, my husband and I, we had somebody ask, like, would you be interested in raising chickens? We're like, well, sure. Like, let's dive right in. I also, yeah, big on gardening. I just feel like I didn't realize how overwhelmed my body was until I moved out here and I recognize how much more grounded I am. Like, so we lived in the Old Market Lofts in Omaha, and then we moved to Papillion. Well, as somebody who's from small town Nebraska, the Omaha Old Market Lofts was extremely, extremely overwhelming. And I went through a lot of issues with my own health during that span of time. And now I notice, like, as we live out here, all of those things, like I had chronic stress, I thought I had leaky gut, all these digestive issues, I lost my period for 6 months. Like, my body was under a lot of stress. I can just label it stress. Just there's a lot going on. And so moving out here, it's just been kind of like a breath of fresh air. So we've been out here for about a year, and my husband's an Omaha native. So it's fun to see him take on a farm role, because it's not comfortable for him either. I think it never really is. And then you kind of grow into it.
Oh, that is so fun. Okay. Walk us through your day to day of life at the farm.
Yes. My husband and I kind of split chores, but usually in the morning, like, we'll go out and tend to our chickens, gather eggs, feed the broilers. Broilers are the hens that you butcher for meat, whereas like regular laying hens are just going to give you eggs. So there's a difference. So we raise both. But yeah, we do chores, get them water, food. It doesn't really take all that much time, but it is nice to be able to like get outside, get fresh air, sit on my porch, eat my breakfast. And I usually do like a little bit of journaling while I'm out there while the sun is rising, and like get that sun in my eyes right away. Like, it's just the most peaceful way truly to start my day. From there, I usually jump into the workday around 8 or 9. But for the most part, like, I really do try to just like absorb the environment I'm in the morning, because it is so comfortable. And so, I mean, for lack of better words, like, grounding for me to have that right away in the morning. So that's definitely what the morning looks like. And late morning, afternoon, I focus a lot more on work, and then try to get back outside in the evening. We'll play fetch with our dog Luna. Usually the ducks are wandering around. They like chase her around, kind of think she's their mother. So it's really cute, just like sit out there and watch them interact and chase each other around. So yeah, we'll usually spend our evenings doing something along those lines too, or going for like a post-nourishment walk after supper.
Ooh, do you want to go into that more too? We were talking about some of our favorite wellness practices and the simple act of going for a walk after you eat. Mm-hmm. I am definitely not a holistic health coach, so I don't know the science behind why it makes me feel better, but maybe you can tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. So post-nourishment walk, what it can do is it can stabilize your blood sugar levels. So you think you just ate all of this food. Sometimes you like have a peak and then a pretty harsh dip if your meal was super high in like sugar or even carbs, maybe a little lacking in protein. So it can help stabilize blood sugar, but it also increases circulation in your body. As your body's moving, it's why like if you are ever been a runner, you go running and it's like you got to stop second mile to go to the bathroom. Like you're just increasing circulation and improving digestion. So really it doesn't take that much time though. Like I usually would say we're probably out for maybe a mile, like 10, 15-ish minutes. That's usually not like our workout for the day, but it is a great way to kind of transition into the evening while your body naturally wants to wind down. You're doing something pretty low intensity, low cortisol producing, and it just kind of, yeah, helps you segue into a state of rest.
Mm. And then I love seeing your stories of your candlelit dinners. And as we go into fall, I will be having more candlelit dinners inspired by you.
Oh, that means so much. Yeah. Well, I know it gets dark so early and I don't know about like Tulum or in Nova Scotia. Is that where you are right now?
Yeah. This is just a quick bit though.
Okay. But I don't know how dark or how early it gets dark there, but it's already like 7:30 here. And I'm like, I mean, we eat pretty early. I try to eat like 2 hours before I'm ever going to go to bed, 2 to 3 hours. But still, I'm like, yeah, those candlelit dinners are so good for the body, especially these brutal Midwest winters, to have that chance to wind down with your meal and not have overhead lighting on. Because I think you've mentioned before, like you hate overhead lighting.
Oh yeah. Big lamp lover.
Yeah. It gives me the ick. Like I get so disgusted when the overhead lights are on. It just like, it drives me crazy. So yeah, candlelit dinners are definitely something I'll need to add back in as it starts getting dark earlier.
Well, taking it back further, now that we have a little context of who you are in your day to day, how did you get into being an integrative holistic health coach?
I always kind of say my journey started when I was 18. So I had an injury in high school with my low back and it just kind of healed. I thought I was fine. And then when I got into college, I started having pretty chronic low back pain. So we went into the doctor and my dad, for kind of context, has had 3 back surgeries. So it's not uncommon to have back surgeries in our family, I would say. But I went in at 18 years old. I had no idea there was anything structurally wrong with my back. And they took an x-ray and they're like, you have 2 fractured vertebrae and a bulging disc. So my L4, L5. And obviously that was what was causing the pain. But I remember that doctor was just so like, I was had tears welling in my eyes. And he was like, you know, I really think we need to schedule surgery. And my dad was like, hold on, like she's 18 years old. If you have back surgery now, it will impact how you move your body for the rest of your life. And most people don't just have one back surgery. They have a back surgery, something happens, they have another. Why he's had 3. So my dad was like, we need to get a second opinion. We kind of left that appointment a little bit in shock. Obviously, like when you don't think anything's wrong and you're in pain, it's like, okay, there's like structurally issues going on here. So we went to a different doctor. Long story kind of short, that was a better approach, but they put me on pain medication. So I did 2 different types of prescription pain medications, stopping one because my kidneys weren't functioning properly. They transitioned me to another. Kidneys weren't functioning properly. That's when I decided like, I'm quitting this cold turkey. I cannot be on medication the rest of my life if it's not actually doing anything. And throughout that span of time, I also did 2 rounds of steroid injections. So they actually like went into that site, injected it with whatever they do, and was supposed to minimize the pain. And they gave me no relief at all. And I'm like, okay, I've been spending the last 1.5 years, roughly, trying the Western medicine route. Okay, I'm doing the thing. I'm doing everything they're telling me. Never once was there talk about nutrition. There was 1 physical therapy appointment within that span of time. Movement wasn't really considered. And so I think when I moved home in 2020, it was kind of an awakening of like, this isn't working. Like we've given it time to work and it's not working. So I then decided to kind of take things into my own hands. And I focused on increasing core strength because if your low back is hurt, obviously the other muscles are going to be your core. So focused on that. Unluckily, that was when COVID happened, so I had to move on from college. But luckily, my mom was here to make good food, balanced meals. I drank significantly less. My body at the time, I didn't recognize this, but I was under so much inflammation, or I had so much inflammation from what I was eating, drinking, my lifestyle in college. Like it was just not creating a good environment for my body to safely heal or to feel comfortable healing. And it was really just increasing the amount of pain I had. So that's when I moved home. I went then through, you know, the dieting phase where you count calories. I did that for 2 years and kind of developed a pretty unhealthy relationship with food and exercise, exercising an hour and a half a day. And it was just never enough, right? I was like, okay, if a little bit of eating healthy is going to make me feel better, or if a little bit of exercise is going to make me feel better, I'm like a pretty extreme person. So why wouldn't I just do a poop ton of it? And that will make me feel so, so much better. And in a sense, like, I can't discredit that because I did feel pretty good. Within that year, I noticed my pain was significantly less. And then I lived on my own. Again, I was kind of in like that unhealthy relationship with food. And then I met my husband. And I feel like that's kind of where, once we got married, I started recognizing my more toxic behaviors around this. Like, when your body feels good and you know what to do to make it feel good, it's hard not to become extreme with it. And that was definitely the route that I took. And I just recognized this pattern in a lot of people around me, you know, losing your period or being in college. I don't know if you heard this, but it was like every girl around me was bloated. And we were like, well, I guess it's just a part of being a girl. We're just bloated all the time. I'm like, that is so not normal. Or everybody being sick around me. Like, I remember my whole freshman year, I was living, well, half of the year, I was living with my roommate and she had a cat and I didn't know I was allergic to cats. So then I was sick for like 6 months, had no idea where it was coming from, had no awareness of like, oh, if you're not sleeping and you're up till 2 a.m. studying and you go get Wendy's at 9 o'clock, like, your body is like so pissed off at you for doing that to it, right? Like, we're not honoring our body by living like that. And I think it has a time and place. But yeah, again, I just noticed that with the people around me. It was just like everybody, the same issues were popping up. And so when I noticed I was able to really heal my chronic pain by doing so many different holistic techniques, I wanted to help other people do the same thing. So that's when I got certified through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, certified in personal training. That was after graduating with my bachelor's of science degree in health and fitness studies. So like, it's always been an interest, but I would say I really didn't learn that much in college. It all came when I started like having real life experience to bring into my practice that led me into holistic health.
Really quick sidebar, how you said you went to actual college and then the IIN online institute, right?
Yes, correct.
If someone is interested in pursuing this career path, what do you recommend?
Mm-hmm. That's always hard. My brother went to college last year and I'm like, I just don't know if I have a lot of faith in college at this point. Everything I'm doing now, I would have not needed a degree to do. I think the experience that I got in college was so worth it. The social piece of college was so worth it. Something I wouldn't trade for anything. But if you are knowing what you want to do and you're like, I really want to go into holistic health, I want to be a personal trainer, all those things right out of high school. If you feel like you have a good social circle and you would be good socially if you jumped right into the workforce, then I would recommend that route. But college gave me a lot of experiences. I wouldn't say it gave me a lot of foundation for what I'm doing as an occupation now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. And it's so expensive. So then it's like, well, heck, if you know what you want to do, like going through IIN or Trinity also has a really good program online. Like, you could save a lot of money at the same time, just jumping into career and making money sooner. So it depends. I graduated in 3 years from Nebraska Wesleyan. And I always say, like, I truly think I'm meant to be a lifelong learner. Like, if I could be in school for the rest of my life and never work a job, like, I truly would love that because I just love absorbing. But at some point you have to implement. So it kind of depends on where you fall on that spectrum. I think I rush things a little bit, but then again, like, I still have ways that I'm able to learn and grow my business as I see need for it. So yeah, I don't know. It kind of depends on the person, but yeah, there are definitely routes that don't require college.
Two things. One, yeah, if I think about how much I spent on college, if I would have taken that same amount and put into a variety of different courses and internships and mentors, it's crazy how differently I would have invested that money. But I still don't regret the college experience because, yeah, it was fun, networking, all of that. But it's the dynamic is changing for sure. And then second part, you should be so proud because you're really young.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sometimes I'm like, was I kind of crazy to start this so young? Because I see, I don't know, just being an entrepreneur, which I don't love the word just is kind of sounds funny to say to me because I'm just doing what I love to do. But yeah, like building your own business at, I was 21. Yeah. 21. No, 22, freshly 22 when I started my business, which just kind of seems insane. Now I'm 25. So a little more seasoned, but yeah, it felt kind of crazy at the time.
How do you feel like being a business owner has contributed to your own self-esteem and health? Because for me at the beginning, it was so overwhelming, but then it made me get into health and wellness because I was like, I'm too stressed out. I have to figure this out.
Well, yeah. And that's what's so difficult is because I firmly believe in practicing what I preach. So if I'm going to tell somebody they have to eat a certain way, get a certain amount of sleep, drink a certain amount of water, and really work on grounding so they are not chronically stressed, like I would say I tend to run. Yeah, like I have to truly live that out. So it was hard in the beginning. I feel like from a personal development standpoint, I got into what I do because I'm passionate about health. And I think there's so many incredible benefits that come when you're able to talk about that all day long with people. Like, it's truly my entire world. But personally, I think it's also pushed me to talk to people, to be outgoing. Like, I'm an introverted extrovert. I don't love to be extroverted. I'm not the person to walk into a room and like want to be the center of attention. That's not me at all. But when you have a business and you maybe, you know, you need to grow it or you want to network or connect with people, like you have to push yourself. And I don't think I would have ever done that if I would have settled into a traditional job. I would have been okay with just being, you know, going to work, doing my thing, not making waves and going home. But I'm also somebody where my purpose and my job have to coexist. Like, they cannot be separated. So if I was to work at a job that I was miserable at, I would be a miserable person. Like, there's no like go to work, come home and have a great life. That doesn't happen for me. Like, I've tried that fresh out of college. And I've recognized like what I'm so passionate about has to coexist with my job. Like, that's just who I am. And it just has to be that way for me.
Because you're all in.
Yeah.
And I mean, that fits really well with the holistic perspective that you have on health, because you're like, well, how could I hate my job that I'm at all day and then come home and just act like I wasn't miserable all day?
Exactly. And I see that with clients too. Like, there's sometimes we'll get on calls and all we're doing is talking about stress that's being caused by work. I'm like, do you see how this is impactful? Like, you're giving so much energy to a job where truly, like, you go to work to make money. What are you doing? How are you feeding yourself? How are you fueling yourself? How are you exercising? How are you taking care of yourself? What energy are you giving yourself if you're giving this issue at work so much of your energy? And so it's like, yeah, and some people do really good at making that work, but I think it's hard to see people struggle that maybe have to be in the 8-to-5 grind and to know that their job is like the root cause of all of these other issues stemming from it. It's really hard then to like approach healing when you know that's something that won't change.
Mm. Okay. Well, thinking of you and your journey, mm-hmm. What areas of being a holistic health coach do you feel like you like to focus on because of what your journey showed you or you went through that you said inflammation and bloating? And mm-hmm. then I know blood work is your latest venture, if that's what we want to call it. Yeah. Are those the main two?
Yeah, for the most part. And nutrition. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, of course. You're like so nutrition to me that I'm like, it's so obvious that I like forgot it.
I know. That's okay. That's a huge piece too. But yeah, I've primarily focused on inflammation. And that was really, I shouldn't say easy to do in the beginning, but it wasn't really something that was talked about. Like, now you see a lot of inflammation or anti-inflammatory products. So now I'm like, okay, Bailey, we need to get more niche because inflammation, like, it's impossible to know everything about inflammation, right? There's autoimmune, blood sugar, hormonal, insulin, musculoskeletal, digestive. Like, there's seven areas that you could see inflammation show up in your body. So that is something where I'm trying to kind of narrow it down a little bit more. But at the same time, I've noticed that most people have pretty high levels of inflammation in all seven, really. With the exception of autoimmune, most often if you have a high number in one area, it translates into another. So yeah, that's where I utilize like the inflammation assessment. Now I'm utilizing blood work to help identify like the root cause of where this is stemming from. So there has to be a system, maybe a nutrient need or a deficiency or a hormonal imbalance where this is coming from. And so that's kind of where I base everything off of, is using those tools to then segue clients into then how do we nourish your body in a way to support the physical stress that it's undergoing. And yeah, I really made the switch to be more nutrition focused, even though I'm certified in personal training, because to me, and it is not a superficial thing at all, but I was like, if you feel crappy and your body's inflamed, there's no workout plan on the face of the earth that's going to make you feel good. If your digestive health is awful or you have hormonal imbalances, like there is truly nothing that'll take that pain away until you focus on what is causing the pain. So that's kind of what led to that shift for me.
Yeah, you almost felt like you were doing a disservice to your clients by working on a later part of the problem without getting step one out of the way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, because exercise, that's not even something, maybe towards the end of working together, we'll introduce exercise. And it's always a focus to move your body, right? We even talked about like a post-nourishment walk. Moving your body, yeah, that's awesome. But it doesn't need to be like a very specific physical result-focused program in the beginning. You just need to move your body. And that's kind of like sometimes just enough for people to start feeling better, especially paired with nutrition and lifestyle changes, stress management. Then they can develop a more extensive exercise program, but that's not what I cover anymore.
And then do you feel like the blood work is almost the receipt?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Before I had blood work, because that's something I got certified within the last few months actually to be able to offer, but it just like helps support the cause. So before that, I was using the inflammation assessment, which I still use, but that is just a conversation, right? Like we're going through a series of questions, rating your symptoms in that area of potential inflammation. And I always said, like, I think that was such a valuable tool, and it is, but you can only learn so much about somebody from having a conversation with them. Like we sometimes need to look deeper. And I would argue we almost always need to look deeper, even if you don't think there's anything wrong with you, still having a baseline of blood work. So when there is something that happens, then you know, okay, well, everything looked normal. Now this marker is super elevated. Like, where is that coming from? It just gives you, like you said, like the receipt of like, this is what you're doing to support your body. And this is how your blood work's improved just by focusing on nutrition and lifestyle, not even getting to the conversation about supplementation for most people until about 90 days in, 45 to 90 days in.
What initially prompted you to get your blood work done?
I had heard about this program from my friend, Lyndon, and that kind of piqued my interest, but I truly was kind of a anti-supplement person. I always thought like, if you get your blood work done, you're going to go to somebody and they're just going to give you a list of supplements. And then it's like, okay. And I'm like, how is that any better than going to the doctor and having them give me all these medications and then take them and think I'm going to be fine? So I was kind of anti blood work for a period of time. And not to say there aren't people that do that with blood work, not how I practice, but I really started recognizing, and a couple things happened. So I got pregnant in June, found out early July. And so that was one where I'm like, okay, during pregnancy, I don't just want to take like a prenatal and just have that cover everything. I want to know where there's nutrient deficiencies, if I'm super dehydrated, if I'm exposed to anything that I need to be concerned about or protecting myself or the fetus for. And also I started having some symptoms of my own. And this is where it's interesting because I love living on a farm. I love living in a house that's over 100 years old. Like it's everything I've literally ever wanted in life. But at the same time, living in a house that's that old, typically there is going to be exposure to mold. And so my symptoms very much reflected that. I kind of felt like I had like a cloud around my brain all the time. And like really no matter what I did, I also noticed like my sinuses were kind of congested when I would wake up in the morning. And it's hard because my husband has no symptoms. But for me, my body was much more sensitive to it. And so I wanted to get my blood work done after I had gotten certified. Then I was like, okay, I want to get my blood work done and see what's going on. And yeah, it came back that I had mold exposure. And so then it came down to, and I was also pretty dehydrated, low in zinc, low in B12. Those are some things I was able to see. So then it's like, okay, you could be doing everything right in a sense, right? This is my job. I practice what I preach. I try to eat really well, move my body, but sometimes your environment is impacting your health and you just truly can't do anything about it. Similar to like your job. Sometimes your job impacts your health. You can't do anything about it. So it's how do we support those systems when you're doing the foundations correctly with supplementation or different foods. So like for a zinc deficiency, I knew I needed to add in more eggs in the morning. For the mold exposure, there's really only one supplement I found that you can take during pregnancy to help with your body detox and protect against mold exposure. So I started taking that, taking electrolyte packets because I'm dehydrated. So it just like, I think that's just what I didn't understand is this, like, if you're doing everything right, then everything should be perfect in your blood work. And the reality is that oftentimes something will come back because there's just always different areas to focus on in your health. Like for me, now mold is a big focus. And how can we minimize mold exposure? Where's the source coming from? So now it's, yeah, just kind of like brought me into this new area, I guess, of navigating my health and supporting my body.
Wow, that is so fascinating because there's so many things that you wouldn't even think are impacting you, but then they're having a huge impact and you're so focused on this other stuff.
Yeah.
I need to get mine done. I have quite a fear of needles, but what's the process like?
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, we run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing minefield easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use if you're selling anything online. Get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show. Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Yes. So this is where you could go to your doctor and you could have the potential for insurance to cover the cost of the labs. What I typically utilize is LabCorp. They're usually in most major cities. There's multiple locations. You go in with this documentation I give you. I order your labs. I schedule your appointment. You go in, and once you check in, you're going to have to do a blood test and then a urine sample. But depending on the panel, like for panel 1, that's what I did. And that's the most basic. They did like 3 vials of blood. My mom on the other hand, she went in and she wanted to get the thyroid panel. And she's like, Bailey, I swear they had like 10 vials, which I know is not true. They do like 6 vials that they will fill. Yeah, if you're squeamish with needles, this conversation is probably not helping you at all. But I will tell you, my experience was very pleasant. I would say I'm not somebody that loves to get my blood drawn, but in my experience, it was not so bad. So yeah, you do that and then you give a urine sample. And then those results get sent to a lab. They run their diagnosis, which is really cool because what I can see is what, if you were to go to your doctor, get the same labs drawn, I can see what they say was normal in the markers. I had a client, she had 22 different tests ran and I found 16 out of the 22 to be out of range in some aspect. If she would have just had it, like taken it as is, like you would from the doctor's office, 3 of her 22 tests would have been abnormal. So it's like much more specific. It's much more like, I would say, smaller ranges of normalcy. And so it's interesting when I get the results, then I analyze those. It takes a good like hour and a half. And then that's when we would meet to kind of discuss like what I'm finding in the blood work, what is something that like a good place to start. If you're not doing the foundations, I'll be very honest, like that is where we're starting. We're not talking about mold. We're not even talking about parasites. We're getting the foundations down. And for most people in the blood work I see that are chronically stressed, like foundations are grounding, they're breath work, they're mapping out your schedule so you have some consistency day to day. It's always so person specific, but yeah, it's really fascinating. It's like that it itches the scientific part of my brain where like, yeah, holistic health is so like woo and kind of like fluffy and it's a beautiful, blissful world. But then when you add in more of like the medically based practices, it's like, okay, like we're adding backing to what we're doing holistically. And it just, I feel really comfortable with what I'm able to do with clients now.
Thinking about the discomfort of getting blood work for someone like myself who's afraid of it or someone else, as you were talking, it made me realize like so much of health and wellness can be uncomfortable at first. Mm-hmm. Like usually it's really hard before it gets fun. Like when you start getting back into the gym, like at first you're like, oh my God, I'm so out of shape. I don't feel comfortable here. And you like got to get yourself back into it. When you first start eating healthy, you have all these cravings. When you first start making a schedule, you're resistant to it and you self-sabotage. You work with so many different clients who have a variety of backgrounds. And I love that you post on your stories, like, I had this client that went from this to this, and here's how we did it. Do you want to share any client journey wins of what they were struggling with and then how you got them there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to go back to that too, of like being uncomfortable. I think we always have to identify what your why is. Like, what's your why for getting blood work done? Like, does your why outweigh the discomfort of doing that thing or getting back into the gym? So I love that you brought that up because you're right. Like so much of it is very uncomfortable at first. But I would say with client success, probably the most recent one, because it was somebody very near and dear to my heart. They struggled with like sporadic arthritis flare-ups, and it was something that had been happening. They had like a tip of metal in their finger, and heavy metal exposure typically isn't legit, like heavy metal being injected into your finger because they have a very hands-on job. In this instance, it kind of started these arthritis flare-ups. So it'd be in his knee, in his shoulder, in his hands, and they would come and they would go. We did blood work and we definitely, of course, noticed like a high toxin. This person works in farming, like they're a farmer, so they work with chemicals. Also legit, although that metal was, it was metal, so heavy metal exposure as well. Growing up, they had a pretty weakened immune system, which we know rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune condition, which this was more sporadic, but still I would say falling under autoimmune. I had them do a full detox, and I think we've been working together for the last 6 weeks, and they've only had one flare up in the last 6 weeks. So I check in every 2 to 3 weeks and I message them and they're like, yeah, like I haven't had a flare up in the last 3 weeks. I was having them pretty consistently every 3 weeks and then having to get on different medication. In addition to that too, with doing a detox from heavy metals and toxins, they're like, my body odor used to be so horrible. Like they would wash their clothes in all these different solutions, trying to get the stink out. And they're like, I exercise and I could wear those clothes all day. Like they don't smell. So I think it's just fascinating in hearing things like that. Like that's a very, I would say more like medically focused win, because to know when your body releases all of those toxins, and they went through the detox symptoms. Like you feel like crap for about a week and a half. Your body is like, holy Toledo, like, why are you trying to get these foreign things out of our system? We were comfortable here. And then once you do, to notice like not just physically you're not having flare-ups, but also your body odor is different. That was something very unexpected that I thought was just really interesting. Yeah, to see just like firsthand how actually like we hear about detoxes, but to see firsthand like what a detox can do for your body was pretty neat.
Oh my gosh, that's fascinating. I like want to hear so many client stories. Do you have more?
When it comes just to general inflammation, I work with a lot of college-aged girls. And I think for them, like I said, for me, it was bloating. Like, oh, I'm just chronically bloated. And I, for them to go, you know, I had one client and she was literally rushing to the bathroom after she would eat a meal every single time. It didn't matter what it was. Her body didn't want that in. She'd rush to the bathroom and it was impacting her quality of life. She's like, it's embarrassing to go out to eat with friends or my boyfriend when like I will eat food and it goes right through me. So initially I'm like, okay, digestive inflammation, like that's kind of what's dinging in my mind that has to be related. And even just like stripping back her diet, like she wasn't doing anything obviously wrong in a sense in her diet, but just how she was structuring meals. Like she would grab a protein shake on her way out the door and then she would have a granola bar for lunch and then she'd have a couple Celsius's in the afternoon. Stressed out at work, would come home and have her full meal later in the evening, like a big meal. And so with that, it was less about like you're eating the wrong things, but you're just not eating enough at different times of the day. So then when she was having supper, it was like overwhelmed to the system. We're functioning on E and now you're going to give us all this greasy or fried or really buttery, creamy food. Like we don't want that. So for her, it was like, how can we implement a quality breakfast, snacks throughout the day, ditch the energy drink and have natural energy with like an electrolyte packet and then have a balanced meal for supper. And it's just, it's so crazy how even something like that, which when your health is being impacted, like that's all you care about. And for her, when we got on our final call, there was literally tears from both of us shed. And it seems so kind of silly. Like, why are we crying over you having regular bowel movements? Like, I always joke, I'm like, why do we publicly, like, not something you would just tell any Joe Blow. But for me, it's like, but her, like her quality of life was being impacted by being bloated or having digestive issues. It wasn't necessarily because she felt better. It's because her life was back to normal. And I think it's always, like I said, coming back to the why. Like, why do you not want to be bloated? Like being bloated sucks. Yeah. And nobody wants to be, but what's the deeper reason? Like what's it impacting for you? And so that's what's so neat about looking at the full picture of somebody's journey is it's not just the symptom we're trying to improve. It's the lifestyle we're trying to improve. So it's a whole like mind, body, spirit approach versus like, let's just focus on what's happening in the body.
I'm so glad you brought up electrolytes again, because this summer when I was in Tulum, I got sick for the first time in a really long time. And I was basically just dehydrated because there you can't drink the tap water. So I have to buy like, you know, liters or gallons of water, which therefore then I was drinking a lot less water. I still don't know what electrolytes actually are, but the other day I bought some, what's the really popular brand of the electrolyte packets?
The Element E or Element.
Yeah. I think so. Yes. And I had one yesterday because I was feeling dehydrated and I immediately felt so much better. And prior to this experience of getting sick in Mexico, I never took electrolytes, which is crazy. I don't know. And so I would always just try to drink more water. But can you explain what they are and why we need them?
Yeah. So I typically explain water that you would just get from the tap as naked or empty water. There's really not a lot in it. It's probably been cleaned to the point where a lot of that has been stripped away. So what's unfortunate is now we have to add those nutrients back in or those minerals back into our water. So electrolytes, typically it's going to be like sodium, potassium, magnesium is what you'll see kind of on the label. A lot of those packets will have magnesium, which is great because it's also great for hydration, brain focus, mental focus, all things. So that is typically what you'll see in your water. So what I will do, and I used to buy a lot of electrolyte packets, which I've gotten back into because I know that I need that extra boost right now with this stage of life. But even like a pinch of a quality sea salt is going to replenish that water so it's no longer naked. Like a lot of the time, if you're thirsty and you feel like that water is going right through you, it's because there's no electrolytes in that water for your body to actually absorb the water. So it's just like going right through you. So that's a sure, like that's a good sign. Like, do I drink water and have to pee all the time? Like that shouldn't actually really be happening if you're having a high quality water.
Okay. That help clears up a lot. I have definitely been focused on trying to drink spring water over the last like 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's hard because not every place has spring water and I'm like traveling all the time, but I did a full 2 week experiment when I was in Mexico in May of only drinking this like really fancy spring water that I found. And I did. I felt so good.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like that, it's like, and it's so basic, like telling people to just drink water and sleep more, like that's not telling them specifics enough. Like you need to be drinking quality water and sleeping, like, yeah, getting quality sleep, which that's a whole different conversation. But like the water piece, like so foundational, but something we don't think twice about, like, well, I'm thirsty, I'm just going to grab some water. We don't always think like, what's the quality of this water? Which is why I think it can also get overwhelming for people when they have like no guidance or they just get into a hole on TikTok of like, oh, here's all these things these people are telling me. Like there's no direction because it's so overwhelming to have to think about all the little things.
And then that's why you set up your clients. Okay, so would you say you have the foundation and then what?
Yeah, so we start with blood work. We go into the rebuild phase and that's where we lay the foundation. We talk about nutrition. So like looking at blood work, we could also see like, do you have yeast overgrowth? So candida. So we have to kind of change your diet in a sense, get more nitty gritty on what you're eating. And then we enter into like looking at parasites, toxins, metals, mold. And then from there, adaptation phase, where we're just being consistent with these habits. Cause like I've been on my own journey for over 5 years and there's always things I'm learning and there's always areas that I could be more consistent with. Like it's impossible to be perfect. So we just have to kind of shoot for having the foundations that are kind of unshakable. And then we build upon there.
I literally saw something on Lemonade the other day about it being shockingly common to have the candida overgrowth. Mm-hmm. Can you explain?
Yes. So, and that's something, that's a whole topic that I really have just learned about in the last probably couple months. But yeah, candida, so it's a yeast overgrowth. So if you think about yeast, if you've ever baked bread, like you usually put sugar in your dough to grow the bread, like so it raises. That's my most basic analogy, and that's not scientifically what's going on in your body. But when you have yeast, right, you're feeding that yeast by consuming a lot of sugar. So especially with having like a highly processed food diet, the high fructose corn syrup, the white sugar, those are all going to be kind of feeding that growth. Even fruit, like if you were to go on a candida specific diet, you would minimize fruit consumption, fruit juice consumption, and sugars, those really sugary carbs. I always like to say is that's not a long-term deal. So you don't usually have to be on that diet for the rest of your life. You have to do it until your growth or that yeast overgrowth is to a point where it's not overgrown, right? It's manageable. You can go back to gradually eating a normal diet, a whole foods balance diet, again, minimizing processed foods, because then I think you'll notice you're in the cycle of just always having to be on some sort of diet in a sense. So really it's just that yeast overgrowth and the sugars, the fruits, those will feed that overgrowth. So minimizing that can help. There's so many symptoms that were so unexpected when I looked at this, like having a white coating on your tongue, having itchy ears, having sinus issues, having like an itchy butt. Like it's not pleasant things you want to talk about. Dandruff. Like those are all like fungal or yeast related issues that you can see topically that then you need to handle first internally, and then those external symptoms should kind of go away with time.
Wow. Okay. So interesting. I could ask you so many things, but for our listeners, you have your own podcast that you go into all of these topics. Can you share about your podcast and your purpose with it?
Yeah. So I started this podcast last August. I used your guys' PDF to start the podcast. Shout out to that. It's a great resource. But yeah, I launched Nourish with Purpose. So I always think about nourishment. For the longest time, it was just like food related. When we nourish our body, we think about food. And I recognize that if we're not nourishing our mind, spirit, and our body, we have extreme disconnect. And most often, we're not truly going to feel like the most well version of ourselves. So within that podcast, I don't just talk about nutrition, although that's a bulk of what I do because it's my biggest passion in the whole world, probably, is just talking about food and how it impacts our body and all the things that happen in the United States around food I could talk forever about. But we also have to think, like, how are we fulfilling our purpose? Our purpose isn't linked to a job. It's not linked to an occupation, but it's linked to how we show up for ourselves and show up for other people and the characteristics we have that make us who we are. And so, yeah, it's kind of all of that in a podcast. I also bring on guests that are doing really cool things just because I think as somebody in my 20s who was really struggling post-college, it's reassuring to hear non-traditional career paths and just have an insight that's outside of the norm. I dive into a lot of things, but it's very health and wellness-based, of course, just based off of what I'm passionate about.
Yay. I love it. I'm so proud of you. You have really cranked up the content game in the last year, 2 year-ish. Mm-hmm. Like, your videos are gorgeous. You have like the lighting and the editing and the typography. You would think that you went to school for graphic design and video because your content has gotten so good. Well, and then the graphics
coming from you.
No, you're
the aesthetic queen. Like, when I think about an aesthetic, I'm like, Allison, that's the aesthetic I'm going for. No.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Well, the feeling is very mutual because the covers that you make for your podcast episodes, I'm like, I need to step it up. They look so good.
Oh my gosh. You're so kind. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been fun. Really, that's something I think I found kind of a reignited passion for, is like sharing on social media. I love making recipe videos. Like, if you go to my Instagram, there's a lot of recipes on there just because it's so fun. It's a creative outlet and it's something that, it's a way to support your body by eating well. It's also showing people, like, it doesn't need to be a salad with grilled chicken and a disgusting sugar-free, fat-free vinaigrette. Like, that is not what eating a nourished plate looks like to me. And I think it just like shows a different perspective on what eating healthy food can look like. So it's been fun.
And you have so many cozy fall recipes on there.
Oh, I know. I was really premature on the fall recipes, but I couldn't help myself.
What's your favorite season?
I didn't think it was fall until I entered this fall. And I'm like, the weather is just beautiful. Like, it's such a blink in time in Nebraska. So I just savored. I told my husband, I'm like, we're going to Junkstock. We're going to the Applejack Festival. We're going to Harvest of Harmony, like these parades in our area. Not because I'm passionate about parades, but like, I just love the vibe. Like, it's so cozy. And it's just like such a fun time of the year.
100%. My Tulum friends are like, why are you going back to the Midwest right now? And I'm like, I need fall.
Yeah, because are you coming back to Nebraska?
Yes, tomorrow.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah, you probably know what the weather's like here, but I think you'll just love it because it's such a contrast to Tulum.
I never really noticed how fun seasons make life. It gives you something to look forward to. You get to change up your clothes, the home decor, your routines, what you're eating.
Oh, yeah.
It just like keeps life moving.
Yeah. I just love to live with the seasons. And like, I think it's something you take for granted when you're not in Nebraska. I always say, like, I would love to be somewhere in the winter, in the dead of winter. Like, ideally one day I will not be in Nebraska. But at the same time, like, when you don't have it, you realize like, oh, I loved eating really warm food because it's kind of chilly. Oh, I love wearing a sweater and getting to bundle up in the evenings. Like, yeah, just things that you miss probably when you don't have it around you all the time.
Which is such a theme of everything in life. Mm-hmm. You know, having gratitude for things while we have them, because nothing is permanent and we never know when things are going to get taken away from us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, valid point. It's like, yeah, we could relate that back to almost everything we just talked about too.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Of course, you know, we have to ask you our last signature question, which is, to you, what makes a good friend?
I know, I was thinking about this. I feel like for me, it's somebody who shows up in no matter what stage of life or season of life you're in. When I think about the friends I've had for years, it's those friends that check in. Even if, you know, I think when I got married, there was a disconnect with my single friends. And now that I'm pregnant, it's like, you know, that disconnect between your friends that aren't married. And I just think having those friends that, like, we don't care. Like, we don't care what season of life you're at. We want to be here to support you. And kind of vice versa, you are there to support them in their season of life. To me, that just makes a good friend and a long-term friend.
That's a really good answer, because so often until we've been in the stage or through the experience that someone we love has been through, we maybe don't give them enough care or support or a listening ear for that particular circumstance. And then we go through it and we're like, oh, I could have been a better friend there.
Yeah. Oh, I realized that when I moved out of Omaha, and like, it's harder to see friends that live in Omaha. It's like the ones that still reach out, even though I'm living even in a different physical location, a different season of life completely. Like, there's still that like, hey, I still know you're there. I'm still here. We still like, let's still make this work because we still care about each other, regardless of, like you said, where you're at physically or metaphorically in your stage of life.
Yeah, because as we get older, more things are going to just keep coming. Dogs, yeah. More kids, moving, career changes.
Yep.
Never stops.
I know. It's the journey. It's a beautiful one, but gosh, I know. It always has so many changes that come with it.
Well, how can our community find you and support you and work with you if they want to?
You can find me mostly active on Instagram. Nourish with Bailey is my handle on there. I'm on TikTok and Lemonade and all the things, but I'm much more consistent on Instagram. I also have a website, findyourdivinepurpose.com. And if you go to my podcast, all my information is in the description. So you could reach out to me through, however works for you. Be more than happy to connect, and especially connect on Instagram. It's so fun. Like, how many people I've met just through Instagram, like you, Allison. So it's a good resource.
And you're accepting one-on-one clients right now?
I am. Yes. Starting in October, I'll be taking on more one-on-one clients.
Perfect. Okay. That's great timing because this comes out literally 2 days before October.
Perfect. Oh my gosh. Crazy. But when you reached out, I'm like, what the heck? This is the most insane timing. I was truly so honored. I was like, wow. Like, there is just so much energy working in the world right now. You had even said like, it's such like an abundant time of the year. And until you said that, I was not observing it. And then once you had mentioned that, I'm like, there truly is like, there's so much different energy with this season. So.
And then it has a domino effect, because when life is going well for us, then we want to bring more people with us and share and get excited. And then we're more supportive of other people and we spend more money and we take the leaps. And then it just has a wave of an impact on your corner of the world. And it's so fun.
It's just crazy. Even just like how the generosity, or how like the giving of your time comes back, not always monetarily, but oftentimes it does. Like, when you are freely giving of your time, it's our most valuable resource. Like, the monetary kickback that eventually comes from it.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's years, but it does eventually come.
Yeah, I know.
Well, all in all, I'm so proud of you. And I'm really glad that we finally got to have you on, because I truly was thinking of you the last, like, how long have I been here? 10-ish days? Because you're like one of the only people in my life that like went from the city to having the farm life. And I just think it's so beautiful, because not that many people have the courage to do that. Like, on Instagram and social media, I feel like the city girl, city guy, like the hustle culture is so trendy, and like the aspirational, like dark editing videos and the gym is so much of what we see online. And your aesthetic is just like the pendulum swinging the other way, that you're like, no, let's raise chickens and let me make sourdough and eat dinner by candlelight. And I love it.
Oh, thank you. That's how I hope people feel. Like, not that my life is all sunshine and rainbows, as is anyone, but like, I hope it just feels like a breath of fresh air when you absorb content, because I see people that are in the grind right now and I'm like, oh, like that looks so uncomfortable to me, to be like in the hustle of living in like a city. And it's just crazy, like, when that's not your reality, like how far removed I am from that. And like, there's just no attraction for me back to that lifestyle.
No. And yesterday I went into Halifax. I hadn't actually gone into the capital. Like, I flew in there, got the rental car, and immediately went to the tiny home that I've been staying at. And yesterday I was like, okay, maybe I should go into the city, because I've been here over a week now and it seems like something I should do. I don't know. I was like, I'll check it out. And first of all, I didn't really picture it to, it was like Portland, Oregon vibes for reference. I don't know what I was expecting, but not that, because the rest of the peninsula, I guess you want to call it, is very remote, countryside, rolling hills, beach. And the city was like such a contrast. Yeah. And I was like, get me out of here. Why is everything dirty? I'm tired. I'm overstimulated. Why is parking so stressful? Oh my God, I have to replug my meter like every single hour, and everyone's in a hurry. And it was like my least productive, healthy, happy day that I've had here, because there was so much going on.
Do you notice that when you go back to Omaha, how like disgustingly dirty it is? I was back this summer, which I'm even going back to, no, on Thursday, but like every every time I'm downtown, I'm like, I swear this gets more disgusting every time I come back. I don't know how I like lived in this environment. I mean, and you did for way longer than me, but like, it just keeps getting more dirty. But I think it's like, as you live somewhere that's the complete opposite, it just like is so much more alarming.
Yes. And I didn't realize how much trash actually affects my mental health, because here they are so diligent about the trash. Like there's three different cans at the Airbnb, and like there's a guide on the wall that was like exactly what can go in each one. They are on top of their trash here. They make trash like look nice because it's like small and there's like no litter. And Tulum unfortunately has so much trash, and it's like every place that has its pros and its cons, right? Like you get one thing and then you're giving up this. Like you said, your house, it's beautiful and you love it. And then it has the mold and it's just, I know. It's never going to be 100% great.
I know. Where do you feel like in all your travels, you felt the most like comfortable and safe in your environment?
The Netherlands.
Okay.
Because you get both worlds. You can go into Amsterdam, but then you can be out in the countryside so quickly on a train. And then you're like by the ocean, but you get the seasons. There's art, culture, history. If I'm there next week for my 30th birthday, no one be surprised. I probably will be.
I love that. But also, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, 30 in the Netherlands sounds amazing. And you are the type of person, I feel like, if you say, I'm going to be in the Netherlands for my 30th birthday, you'll legit be there.
Fair. Thank you for that. I try to be a woman of my word. I went there for my 21st birthday solo. So it feels like since I entered the decade, I need to close it out the same way.
Yeah, I think you should. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's so cool. Your life is one that I admire. I've admired for a long time, actually. Like, it's so funny. I like, because you started opening New Wave and I was telling my friends, I'm like, do you know Allison? I'm like, I don't know her either, but like her lifestyle is insane. Like just like your travels and how you're able to get so much done in a day. I'm like, you were able to make being productive look aesthetic. And I feel like that's a disconnect I have. Like if I'm in work mode, I'm in work mode. I'm not trying to make it a vibe. And you make everything look like a vibe. Even when you're traveling, I'm like, gosh, like, yeah, it's admirable how you're able to do that and be at all these different places and meet friends. Like it's just fun to listen to your travels. I listened to your Tulum episode on the Patreon. And I'm like, gosh, she is living. Like we were at different stages of life, but she is truly living. It's so cool.
30 going on 23 again. But it's fine. Well, thank you for the compliments. And I genuinely love your content too. When we finally got to meet last summer, I was like, this was such a long time coming. And I'm just proud of your whole journey. And you're giving so much positivity to the world. You're one of like 20 people I know that I like actually watch every single Instagram story and feed post, because there's so much value and it's pretty and you're intentional. Like you don't just post stuff just to post.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, I don't. That would drive me crazy. That's like an addiction to social media in my eyes. I try to be very intentional for my own mental stability. So thank you. That's a huge compliment. And I want to have you on the podcast. So I'll like
I'd love to
get that lined up, because if you're willing, you have so many things you could share. I wouldn't even know where to start, but I think it'd be a good conversation.
Of course. Happy to come on anytime. And for everyone listening, I will link all of Bailey's things in the show notes. And then on the Arty Friends podcast website, I always make a little blog post for the guests. So that way you guys can put faces to the names and see all the links in one place. So definitely check that out as well. And thank you again, Bailey. This was lovely, just like I knew it would be.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Okay, we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Arty Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you, to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so much, and we'll catch you next week.